Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side.
Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And we are very excited to go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Lisa Byington, who will become the first woman to call play-by-play for the NCAA tournament taking place later this week. Lisa, thanks so much for taking time to join us.
Of course, Robbie. Now, Joe and I go back to his Michigan days. Did he ever tell you about when I got him with an and one on, like, spoon ball?
He did not.
Can we start there? No?
That's a good place
to
start.
We can absolutely start there.
I was I swear I was going to bring that up, too. I really was, Lisa. No, so Izzo used to do these media basketball. I think we've talked some about this.
I've talked about, yeah.
And, yeah, Byington, absolutely. Like, pump fake me. Got me and one. Now, Byington played at Northwestern.
Right.
We're talking about a college basketball player. But, yes, that was – I think the whole place was like, oh, and then it was like – we didn't have Twitter then. Or think about how much that would have been tweeted around Lansing Media.
We didn't have Twitter, but we do have video proof of that.
Oh,
that's right.
I've
that's
got
right.
to see this.
Byington Cabal. But I was at least among the least embarrassing media members out there, right? You will agree with that, Lisa?
Oh, absolutely. No, we go back to that. We go back to, like, noon ball days. And, no, I'm happy to be on with you guys.
Well, Lisa, we brought it up to begin the segment, becoming the first woman to call play-by-play for an NCAA tournament game. Obviously, I mean, it's just a huge accomplishment. What does that mean to you, and how excited are you to get things going later this week?
I wish I could say that I have time to be excited. You know, we got our game assignments last night, like late last night. It was about 10 Central, I think, when everything came down. So I'm like almost too busy to feel anything except just kind of plowing through my assignments right now. But, you know, I understand the history piece of this, and I just look at it as progress. I look at it as one step closer to get to a point where we want to go. And it's empowering to know that this isn't my story. It's the story of so many women and men, because let's be honest, men are very much a part of this story as well. They have to be gender allies. But you know, we're all just a part of the process in the past that has helped generate this opportunity. And this is also a story of men and women who are part of the process this week, who will help, quite frankly, to generate opportunities for the future. And I'm just one small part of that lineage that's happening this week.
So, Lisa, what is, like, how is it going to work this week? And, yeah, what is your assignment? How's that going to look? How different will this be, you know, from a normal year, the NCAA tournament?
Well, I've been assigned four games, and instead of four games all in one day, it'll be split up two and two. So I'll have two games on Friday, and then I'll have two games on Saturday. And so those will be my first round assignments, and I don't know what second round looks like. So usually in a normal year, you get four games on the one day, and then you know what your two games are going to be in your second round. Here, like I said, it's divided between Friday and Saturday, and it's up in the air. I might have second round games of some of the same teams that I have in first round. I might have, you know, fresh new teams, and that's kind of the beauty and the beast of the setup this year.
Lisa, what's the challenge like in a situation like we're in this year where you're calling games at times remotely, or the fans are not as big a part of it as we used to be? We were talking about it, you know, last week here on the show. We feel like, you know, college football and college basketball, you can probably feel the presence of the loss of the fans more in those sports than the NFL or any professional league that you want to throw out there. So what's that been like from your vantage point when you're trying to call a game in the situation that we've been in for the last year and the differences that presents?
Well, I would say maybe like 80, maybe as high as even 90% of the basketball games I called this year were off a monitor. So that presents a challenge in itself. And some of the setups that I had, we were able to see all the camera angles. So that helped. not only could I see what you, the fan, was watching kind of on our program monitor, but if I needed to look at a bench or if I needed, like, let's say there was an official who was out of the shot of what you guys are looking at and they're making a call, another camera angle might have that. So I could see maybe four or five different perspectives of the game, but obviously it's not as good as you physically being there. So that itself was a challenge. The few games that I was on site for, I actually kind of tweaked with our audio people and had them sort of raise the levels in my headset a little bit more. So I could, you know, part of being a play-by-play is feeling the game, at least from my perspective. And when you don't have a crowd there, it's hard to feel. And so what I told myself is that, you know, this is silly. I can still feel the game, but in a different way. Like there are sounds of the game that are still happening if it's not just the crowd sound. So there's, you know, the shoes on the court. There's the dribbling. There's the communication now that you can hear between the players and the coaches. And so I would just have our audio people kind of raise the level of those kind of basketball sounds in my headset. So I could feel the game, but feel the game in a little bit of a different way.
Okay, so yeah, so what are your games in what arena?
I will actually be on the Unity Court. Both, all four of my games will be at Lucas Oil Stadium.
Okay,
and
the big one.
So I'll be working with Steve Smith. And Friday we go. We actually have a number one seed. We have Baylor and Hartford for our very first game on Friday. That's at 3:30 Eastern. And then we have some time in between. You know, our next tip is not till 9:50 Eastern, and that's Morehead State, West Virginia. I've got three Big 12 teams. So on Saturday, I go UC Santa Barbara and Creighton, and then I get Texas and Abilene Christian after that. So those are my four games.
You might be Huggy Bear. Better watch out for Morehead State based on what we saw them do to Belmont. Oh, that's that's an interesting one. So, Lisa, when did this become a thought for you? Because now look, I'm biased, but I'm also accurate. You were outstanding in local television. I thought you were the best sideline reporter in the country for a long time, and that is a very hard job to do. But at what point did you think about play-by-play? Because you've been doing it for a few years at least on the Big Ten Network, correct?
I have, and not as long as some people. I mean, I think I first started really trying to work at the craft back in maybe 2013-ish, I would say. Look, like I always tell people, you know, I mean, there's some play-by-plays who are working right now, and they knew at like 7 years old or 8 years old that they wanted to be that announcer. And I was not that person. Like, I would watch a game at 7 years old and 8 years old, and I was the little girl who thought that I could actually be the person playing in the game. I didn't care about the announcer back when I was 8 years old. And then, you know, you get through college, and I played in college, and then you start realizing your time is up. And I started thinking about other things. And quite frankly, like, I would always watch SportsCenter on ESPN, and I thought I was going to be an anchor on SportsCenter. And it's just kind of funny how opportunities, people see things in you that you might not see in yourself quite at that point. And it just sort of evolved, you know, like Joe, you mentioned I was in local news for 12 years. And that was, those were the first few jobs that I had in broadcasting. I was in Lansing, Michigan when the Big Ten Network came about in 2007, and they were looking for people in Big Ten cities. So I was in the right place at the right time. I had a boss at the time, Fred Heumann, who let me kind of do both. Most bosses wouldn't do that. And so I was able to just start freelancing. They asked me to do sideline, and I had never done sideline before, so you're kind of learning on the job. Sideline kind of evolved into, hey, you know what, let's try you at some play-by-play. And I had never done play-by-play before, so that kind of evolved. And I just realized that it's a job and part of the craft I just kind of fell in love with. And slowly but surely, you know, this kind of became my profession and my thing.
Lisa Byington on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Lisa, as you mentioned there, you can forge your own path, and everybody listening right now has their own unique journey. But what would your advice be to women who may want to have a career in sports journalism or even a career in play-by-play? What would your advice be to those women?
Well, first, I think it was always what women, when they said they wanted to get in TV, they always thought that they had to be a sideline reporter. And when I would talk to, you know, college classes and interns and all that, I would just tell them, I would say, look, you know, like set your goals high, and you can have a major role on this broadcast. You don't, just because women have traditionally always been in one role, that doesn't mean that you have to be in that role. So you got to put in the time, and that's first and foremost, and you got to have a passion for it. And if your passion is sideline, then do that. But don't be limited because of the definitions that have been placed on women in the past in sports broadcasting.
Well said. And for anyone who wants to read more, you should read lisabyington.com. You know, I love the old school references to like listening to One Shining Moment in your Walkman. I love that. Like, this is a blog too. Like, we're so old school, right? I mean, I love that stuff. I got to ask you, Lisa, have you filled out a bracket yet? Like, who's winning this thing?
So I don't fill out brackets anymore. I'm so boring in that way. Since I started doing sideline for the NCAA tournament, my first year was 2017, and I was determined in 2017 to continue to do my bracket because I was always really good at, like, picking winners. And it just got to be too much. You know, you've got eight teams, and I just – I reluctantly let that go. So I'm sad to say that since 2017 I haven't filled out a bracket.
All right. Well, still, you can still tell me who's going to win the tournament, though.
I'll say this. I have Gonzaga and Illinois in the final. How about that?
I'm with you.
Hey, Joe Rexroad's pick earlier. I like that. Very nicely done.
I like it.
Did you pick a winner of it? I haven't picked a winner yet. I can't decide yet.
I'm going Illinois, but now I'm starting to feel like they're too popular of like the underrated pick, you know?
Right. I hate picking the pot, and everyone just kind of rolls their eyes. Well, of course, you know. And I'm like, no. I mean, there's a reason. There's a reason why we pick these teams.
I mean, they are really good.
They are very good.
And they're fun. They're fun.
Yeah.
I was watching their championship game yesterday, and I think Bill Raftery said it really well. He said they're a charming group, and I thought that's a great way to describe them because they you can tell that there's great chemistry. They love playing together, and just the way they go about it is just it's fun to watch.
And plus, like Gonzaga blew it by not losing a game, right? I mean, you gotta lose a game somewhere along the way.
Exactly.
Lisa Byington has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. She'll become the first woman to call a game for play-by-play in the NCAA tournament later this week. Lisa, great catching up with you. Appreciate you taking some time this morning to join us.
Happy to be on with you guys. Joe, it's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, you too. Really happy for you. A few years from now, we're going to be talking about how Lisa Byington's one of the best play-by-play announcers in sports, period. So really, really happy for you, Lisa.
Nothing like setting the bar too low. Huh?
No pressure.
Thanks, Lisa. We appreciate it. Just an awesome stuff there. And I love the pump fake story as well. Was it like Dwayne Wade style? She just gets you to bite, and all of a sudden,
oh yeah, I was
it's
up in
an
the
and
air,
one.
Up in go. The air, and then finish. Yeah. Now, Lisa, by the way, didn't just play hoops at Northwestern; played soccer at Northwestern too.
Wow.
So we're talking about two elite athletes going against each other.
Yes.
She got me one time. Okay.
Yes, I'm sure that's the word that comes to mind to describe your athleticism. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the NCAA tournament and give our thoughts on Tennessee and the draw that they have. What sort of a chance do we think they have in this side of the tournament? We'll discuss it next. This is Robbie and Rex Road. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.